We're glad to present your speaker, Brother V.E. Howard.
Today, I shall discuss prophecy and premillennialism. But first, there are a few considerations for introduction. There are some words that have natural affinity to each other. We look at the two words of the subject, prophecy and premillennialism, but let us first consider some words of kindred terms, where one leads to the thought of another. For example, look at the affinity between mother and home, heaven and happiness, faith, hope, and love. Look at the kinship between parent and child, or brother and sister. Look at the intimate spiritual relationship between the words virtue, knowledge, self-control, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. Look at the scriptural connection between sobriety and righteousness and godliness. Yet, there are other expressions that are hostile to each other. They have no natural affinity to each other whatsoever. They are opposed to each other. We sometimes place them together to present a lesson of contrast, or to exhibit the very obvious lack of compatibility. For example, it is quite obvious that the expression Christian atheist falls into this class. How can a person be a Christian and an atheist at the same time? The two terms are naturally and mutually exclusive, aren't they? A person cannot be a Christian and an atheist at the same time. One cannot be a believer and a non-believer at the same time. Another term about which we have been hearing much in more recent years is unity in diversity. Now, if this expression we mean to suggest that there is room for opinions in human thought, then of course we have no objection. But in regard to the fundamentals of the Bible, and this is the way this term is usually presented, we cannot desire unity in diversity. Unity means a togetherness. Diversity means a state of difference or unlikeness. How can people differ on great authoritative doctrines of the Bible regarding God's plan of salvation and worship and maintain a state of unity? It is impossible. Ladies and gentlemen, the two words of our title for this series of discussions, prophecy and premillennialism, are not terms of affinity. They are not terms of kinship. They do not set forth a beautiful type of religious harmony. They are used deliberately in this study to set forth two conflicting ideas of thought, two opposing systems of religious teaching. Now, what is meant by the word prophecy? Many people have the idea that prophecy refers almost exclusively to predictions regarding the future. It is true that a great deal of biblical prophecy does refer to that which is purely predictive in its basic nature. But prophecy is not necessarily, or even primarily, foretelling. As the author W. E. Vine has well stated in his book, An Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words, page 221. Furthermore, Vine states that prophecy signifies the speaking forth of the mind and counsel of God, either of the exercise of the gift of that which is prophesied. It is the declaration of that which cannot be known by natural means. It is the foretelling of the will of God, whether with reference to the past, the present, or the future. Therefore, the word prophecy, we have reference to that which belongs to the will or the counsel of God. Prophecy is therefore biblical declaration. The late J.C. Brewer, a great preacher of the past, gave this simple illustration to distinguish between a prophet and a priest. He said a prophet was someone who had been to God and was returning to the people with a message. In contrast, a priest is one who has been to the people and was going to God for the sacrifice or an offering. The prophet was a bearer of the message. A prophet was not a commentator upon the meaning of the message. He simply revealed the message as the Almighty delivered it to him. He did not have the power to add to it, to modify or subtract from the message in any way. The Apostle Paul referred to this strict practice when he wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 11:23 and the 15th chapter and the 3rd verse. He declared, "For I received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received." Paul, as an apostle and prophet, revealed only what he was given to be delivered. It was the prophet's task to tell what God said, not what he thought God said or meant. In this sense, Paul the apostle was a prophet. He revealed God's will regarding the past, the present, and the future. It was not all predictive. What about premillennialism? Obviously, the prefix pre means before. The word millennial, according to its avid advocates, means a literal thousand-year reign of Christ on this earth, which will occur in the literal city of Jerusalem, we're told. The reigning Christ will be seated upon a literal throne of David in this Palestinian city. Accordingly, this will be the period when Jesus will vacate the palace of heaven and come to this lowly earth to reign for the literal period of 1,000 years. But, ladies and gentlemen, hear me. Are you listening? The mistaken could hardly be more mistaken. It does seem rather strange that the proponents of premillennialism have not discovered that the term millennium does not even occur in the Bible. It is true that Revelation chapter 20, in highly figurative language, mentions a reign of the saints for 1,000 years. But, beloved, this is a reign of the saints for 1,000 years. Revelation chapter 20 makes no mention of the duration of Christ's reign. It says nothing about the reign of Christ or when it will begin. It says nothing about how long it will last. It says nothing about Christ's reign for 1,000 years. This chapter does not tell us when this particular reign of the saints will begin or end. Neither Revelation 20 or Matthew 24 offers any thoughts concerning the idea of premillennialism. Prophecy and premillennialism are as far apart as the north is from the south and the east is from the west. Prophecy relates to truth. The premillennial dogma is characterized by falsehood. Prophecy is what God says. Premillennialism is what has originated and propagated by men of this world. If prophecy is true, then premillennialism is false. If premillennialism is true, biblical prophecy is false. Both cannot be true. The discussion of this matter is very vital and important. Premillennialists offer very persistent dogmas concerning this idea of Christ's reign on earth. But I tell you, my friends, it undermines the faith of the gospel and true Christianity. Premillennialism is nothing that is absolutely new. It has been around for a long time. This religious era is now gaining ground rapidly. It has been estimated that 70% of the so-called Christendom believes in some facet of premillennialism. Premillennialism is not peculiar to any one religious segment of society. Quite the contrary. It freely crosses all lines and extends welcome to everyone who will embrace its materialistic message. It is a determined and energetic attempt to erect again the relics of abolished Judaism. Is premillennialism biblical? As previously stated, the word millennial is not even in the Bible. Neither is premillennialism taught in the Bible. I submit to you that premillennialism is anti-biblical. It is anti-Christian. It is absolutely opposed to the gospel and completely contradictory to Christianity. The late Foy E. Wallace, Jr. well stated, premillennialism is an anticlimax. Premillennialism is materialism. It is a flare back to the beggarly elements. There is nothing in it conducive to spirituality. It is contrary to the character of Christianity and contradictory to the gospel of Christ. No man can believe premillennialism and believe the gospel. That's a quotation from God's prophetic word, page 317, 318. Why discuss premillennialism? Every Christian must seek to be like Christ, who loved righteousness and hated iniquity. You may read something about that in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. The Bible says we are to hate every false way, Psalms 119, 128. Premillennialism needs to be studied in order that we might be fortified against its error. We need to study it in order that we might recognize its error and oppose it. An awareness of its materialistic concepts will enable one to appreciate more fully New Testament spirituality. We need to be informed in order that we might teach others. It should be the aim of every Christian not only to teach God's saving truth, but be in position to refute every error that undermines divine truth. Premillennialism is opposed to God's truth. One might even ask, is the premillennial idea a dead issue? Is it wrong to assume this materialistic issue is a dead theory? I say to you, it is very much alive. Hal Lindsay's books on premillennialism are selling into the multiplied millions. His rank premillennial propaganda is capturing millions who know little about the Bible and very little about the premillennial theories, basically. Such people become an inviting prey for the persistent proponents of premillennialism. Burying one's head in the sand and pretending that it is a dead issue and a harmless cause will not evaporate its definitive reality. Premillennialism has been placed into the very text of some of the new modern versions of the Bible. This makes this problem of premillennialism all the more dangerous. Question: is premillennialism a harmless doctrine? I declare to you that this erroneous doctrine is a faith-destructive teaching. I have been opposed to premillennialism since my first acquaintance with it back in the early 30s. Many times I've spoken out against it as I've had opportunity. My friends, hear me today, and I say, are you listening? Premillennialism is not harmless religious dogma. Some have suggested that the issue should be handled with kid gloves. But you can be sure that the proponents of premillennialism are not using kid gloves, as they continually and persistently advocate this theory in almost all avenues of religion. Some have suggested that the issue is harmless as long as its sympathizers hold the system as private opinions. But I have some very definite questions here. If the matter were strictly privately held opinions, why so much publicity about it, and why is it so publicly known today? When something is publicly disclosed as dogmatically and affirmed so persistently as this theory, it cannot be said to be simply an opinion. You know that, don't you? Does a false doctrine have the right of immunity from exposure if clothed with identity of opinion? I say no. Is an error of this magnitude not capable of doing great damage to one's faith? If a person privately holds to some religious error that is filled with materialistic concepts, an outright perversion of the gospel system, can he really be in favorable position to have adequate understanding of the spiritual aspects of Christianity? My friends, I submit that one cannot be loyal to Christ and maintain allegiance to this materialistic system that opposes and assails Christianity. Unfortunately, I tell you that there are many people today who think premillennialism is a harmless system. They know little relative to this era and how it affects and undermines the gospel of Christ and the church of our Lord. But I declare, premillennialism has never been harmless, it is not now harmless, and never will be harmless in the future. It is error, and must be exposed as error.